You are ready.
I'd like to welcome everyone. Today we're doing a work session for the council. The public was invited. We have two topics today. We're going to talk about the West Yellowstone business and workforce housing needs and assessment. And we're going to talk about the West Yellowstone local housing strategy. We're going to kind of run this just like a council meeting. So if public has any comments or questions, use the raise your hand online, and at the appropriate time you'll be called on. This is Rick with HRDC. He'll be doing most of the talking. Then, and Rick, for the council, would you rather have us interrupt you with a question, or do you want to wait until certain points?
Interrupt. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Jump in.
So I will turn the time over to Rick.
Great. Well, I do have some slides. I think I want to kind of preface and do a little bit of housekeeping today, just to go over schedule, background, where we are, where we're going, and then we'll kind of start getting into it as well. But do want to take care of a little bit of that, and kind of look to the future. I think the work session items are a little more of what we've done, and we're going to talk about where we're going. But first, my name is Rick Simpkins. I'm here with HRDC. Or community action agency, work on anti-poverty measures from food insecurity, food banks, housing, early childhood education. Our programs really run the gamut. I work in the community development department. We work to preserve and develop affordable housing. We also work on housing policy and assisting local governments, nonprofits deal with their housing challenges. So that's my capacity here today. I do have a little bit of a West Yellowstone connection. My family started a business here in the 50s, and if my grandma had held my uncle in for another 20 minutes, probably would have grown up here. But as was during her second pregnancy, she told my grandfather, no uncertain terms, they'd be moving somewhere with a hospital. So I grew up in Bozeman instead.
Rick, it was actually 1946. It was my business.
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
Long before you were born.
Yeah. Yes. So, talk a little. This is the agenda for today. We'll go over the introduction and background, a very light glossary of some housing terms that are going to come up. And again, if I use any terms that you guys aren't sure of the meaning of, please interrupt me and ask the question. Do a little bit of goal setting. I think we generally know the goals, but sometimes it helps to just say them out loud, write them down. Talk about the process that I want to go through. It's definitely a draft process. If you guys are hearing that, thinking that's not how you want to go about this, please let me know as well. Talk about scheduling to do that. Talk about the highest level trade-offs that we're gonna have and how involved the town wants to be in the development of the 80 acres. And then that last bullet point, questions arising from the session, is really, you know, hoping to build some discussion and give me some starting point on where you guys are at, what you're thinking, so I can tailor future sessions to you know, be the most useful they can be.
Go ahead, Kane.
These are from your guys' growth policy. Just like to root that this is something that the future or past councils have adopted and said they want to see. So housing vacancies remain low. West Yellowstone residents can find high quality housing within their means, and the town's seasonal workforce has provided suitable living arrangements. The vision for 2037, that's what we're working on here today and hoping to accomplish, I think, help set the stage for it. Those are goals from that growth policy that, you know, are going to fit in with today's process. Go ahead, Katie. Background documents. Not going to go through them kind of individually. I hope you guys have. Actually, show of hands. Who has read the local housing strategy and the business and workforce housing assessment? But better than I thought, so I appreciate that. I do think if you guys get the chance to read those, it will be really helpful. We'll save a lot of time talking about things, hopefully give you guys ideas on where you want to go and what you want to see. And then I just want to pull out one thing from the housing strategy. We surveyed 162 community members, which is a really astounding rate to get on a survey for a community of this size. 92% disagreed that people living and working in West Yellowstone had sufficient opportunities to access safe housing at a price people in the community can afford. So hope you guys, don't want to have to convince you that there is a housing problem in West Yellowstone. I don't think I need to, but certainly the community feels that there's a challenge here. What we're not going to do is sort of reinvent these studies, reinvent these surveys. We're not going to go into them. We're not going to update them. Some of these done in 23, 24, 25. We're gonna use the data as if it's true. We can make, changes here or there as it makes sense. Interest rates are a little different than they were. Housing prices are a little different than they were. But we're not going to go in and individually update, well, what is a teacher in West Yellowstone make? We're not going to get to that level of detail. But we are going to use them as sort of foundational documents. Similarly, the preliminary plat application shows, the direction you're going. We're not going to try to change that. We're going to go and work alongside that. I'm also not an engineer, so you wouldn't want to take any engineering advice from me. You guys are very competent engineers already. Some basic glossary, affordable. So when we talk about kind of capital A affordable versus attainable, to be affordable, it means that somebody would spend 30% of their gross household income or less on housing for rentals. And for ownership, that number is 33%. That includes utilities for renters, and then for homeownership, that's going to include your property taxes, insurance, and all those little costs that go with homeownership. Area median income, this is measured by the federal government and sets what is the median income. We're in Gallatin County here, so we use Gallatin County's. That number is $130,000 a year for a household of four. Important to note for AMI calculations, as household size rises, so does that the area mean income of that household size. Not, a household of one, it doesn't double for a household of two, but it does go up. And generally, we're going to be looking to just set, okay, where does that look like on a chart and give us a base point to measure to. Community land trust, heard interest of that generally. It's a housing tool using a ground lease structure where you separate the improvements, the housing, from the land beneath it, and the land is maintained by either a nonprofit or a local government to keep it affordable permanently. A deed restriction is a covenant placed on a deed of a property. It sets restrictions and requirements. What those are, we can talk about. You can make them up, but just generally, it's restricting the use of a property. And a low-income housing tax credit, LIHTC, it's the largest source of funding for affordable housing in the country. It subsidizes construction or rehab of existing housing. And there is income thresholds for people that live in those. Goes to about $60,000 to $70,000 or less are required to live in those. Again, there's going to be other terms. Please interrupt me if I say something you don't understand.
Rick, I'm CLT.
Yeah.
They don't own the land, they lease it from whoever, the developer, the town, or whatever. And transfers if they sell the house.
Yep, the new homeowner would enter into a ground lease with that same entity that owns the land again as a requirement of purchasing the home.
So is it a rent thing, or do they lease it on a yearly basis, or how does that work?
Generally, those are leased at 75 or 99 years. Different attorneys will tell you the maximum lease in Montana is either 75 or 99. I can't tell who's right. And then it's renewable for any one of those terms. So it's going to last as long as somebody lives. And it specifies the use of the property, the relationship that's going to be there. It imposes a compliance requirement on the homeowner to, certify, yes, I live in this house with my primary residence every year. And generally includes a fee, although it's a fairly nominal fee, almost always. And it sets the restriction on, hey, when you sell, there's a maximum price you can sell for.
Does the leaser have any obligation or anything to the homeowner as far as upkeep or anything like that?
Nope, generally all responsibilities of the homeowner. That said, you can write your own ground lease for this. Now there's kind of national standards and structure for most land trusts that they use, but there's nothing that says you couldn't write in your own requirements, your own, hey, the town owns it, they're gonna do a reassessment every year, or they'll take care of the snow plowing on the sidewalks or whatever, what have you.
Right.
But Katie. So goals. Hoping to, generally understand what you guys want to get out of this process, what a success looks like, both in terms of this process and the first phase of the 80 acres, what housing it provides, what doesn't it provide. So I think I'd like to start there and get a little something from you guys. What does that look like? I think first, what does success look like in the 80 acres in this first phase?
That's from council.
That's for the council.
Right. I don't know. I've looked a lot at the deed and the other. I just think we just gotta get started with maybe some fourplexes like we talked about, and then it's my opinion.
Me, the first phase is a low income, affordable housing. To me, it can't be all one of those. It's going to have to be interfaced with whether it be summer residents or, something. It just cannot be affordable housing or low income housing. Our first phase can't be.
It has to be a mix, yeah.
Great.
Travis, did you want to answer that?
No, I'll step in when I can since I'm on the road. So thanks. So
Okay.
yeah.
For me, it would be just, I don't know the right answer on what needs to go right. In the back of my head, I do feel like apartment complexes. But then again, talking to people in town, they don't want to live in apartment complexes. They want a house. But when you actually look at it, they can't afford a house. So I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to
Yeah,
that.
for sure. And there's always a disconnect between what people want, what people can do, what's realistic. But that exists every time you do a process like this, for sure.
Well, I think one of the problems is that if you go low income, that low income, it really takes your workforce housing out of the providing housing for them out of the equation. Because if you go under the federal standard, they make too much money. So it has to be targeted for that next level up.
Anything else generally? I mean, what is a successful process look like for you guys? What do you want to get out of this?
Housing.
Housing, yeah.
That's a good answer.
Housing.
Should have seen that one coming.
Yeah. The housing and get more of our community people to stay here. You know,
Yeah.
that's going to build the whole community as a whole and school and whatever.
As a staff member, success to me would be when we're hiring a new teacher or a new police officer or something to take away that immediate panic of who do I need to call? Who might have housing available that I go through every single time. Like my mind immediately goes there. Who do I know? What stories have I just heard? Where can I find the house? Like that would be such a big relief if we're successful with this.
Thank you.
I think one of my biggest questions is one is developer or city? And we haven't decided on either one of those. And if you go to a developer, there's some guidelines and demands that he's going to ask for. And but in the town, are we capable of developing? I think to me, that's the biggest question right now that we have is how
Sure.
we're going to develop and who we're going to develop it with. So, to me, a lot of the things that we suggest to you, Rick, depends on that, as far as who's developed and how we develop it. Thanks.
Yeah.
Is there anyone online that has any comments?
Any hands up, but you can just unmute yourself to give a couple seconds.
I think, going off of your comment, like what level of detail do you want this process to end up in? How much room for flexibility do you want going forward, right? There's going to be a question. If you pick a developer and you're working with them, that changes things. If you're working doing it yourself, that allows you to have that maximum flexibility, but you're also taking on a lot of the risks. And so that's one question I have for you guys, and we're not going to determine it today and decide, but how far do those go? How far does, you release an RFP? Is it specifying every way step, every single step down? You might not get somebody to respond, or do you leave it too open and put too much on city staff to negotiate and they don't have direction? So finding that balance, and that balance is determined by the council and how what they want to see, what you guys want to see. What I don't, think this process can end up is like what I want, what my recommendations. I could make recommendations. I could have done it last month. Hey, this is what I think. I have all the data in front of me, on where the incomes are in town, what housing units are requested. But that's not going to be helpful, right? We're not going to provide everything for everybody, so we have to make some of those decisions. You guys are the elected body to make those decisions. You guys are the representatives of the community, and that's why I think we're going to constantly need to be checking with you guys. I'm going to constantly need to get feedback from you, to hear what you guys are thinking. And along those lines, I want to understand what's the best way to get feedback from you guys. Is it just going to be in, sitting around a table like this that I can get that feedback? Should I send out surveys to you guys to, answer in shorter or longer form? That could be, kind of multiple choice questions sometimes of what's the preferred of these. Or is that, hey, I'm looking for a paragraph on your thoughts on the discussion we had. Like a little bit of feedback on how I'm going to get feedback from you.
Rick, but doesn't the process that you need depend on the decision how we develop that?
Yeah, right.
Your future, so as your suggestions and stuff, we have to have plan in place, some kind of structure, so you can go a little bit farther,
Correct.
correct?
Yep. So, to I think illustrate, like, here, why don't we go to the next slide? Here's the roadmap I've got. Two sessions, those second and third, where we're spending a little more time going over those trade-offs back and forth. But I can't present every single option available. There's too many options. Eventually, we got to start narrowing down, and we're going to do that before that second session. We're going to do that today. I already know things that you guys want to do and don't want to do, but we're going to keep getting closer and closer. But I can't know exactly what session three is going to look like without session two, because I need to know what you guys are thinking. There's no reason for me to talk about, hey, here's what it could look like for the town to self-develop rental housing for people at 30% AMI and own it for the long term, if that's not something that's going to be accepted, that's going to be helpful. So constantly getting that feedback. Anytime, I have a, hey, which way should we go? And it's not going to be, I'm not going to send you guys texts at night, but I will need that feedback to say, hey, are you guys interested in the community land trust model? Is that something that in the second session that I should be talking about and presenting, giving more detail on, talking about how it can work, showing the difference between, land costs in it and things like that? What does it look like to do, you're not going to, generally not going to do an apartment building or a big condo building. That's not a product that works that well with the community land trust model, especially in smaller towns. So I wouldn't go that route, right? I need to have that kind of back and forth with you guys to design these sessions to get us through this process. So that said, that same question, what's the best way for me to hear from you guys?
Shane, did you have another question?
Well, so I assume you had quite a bit to do with what the county did for the restaurant.
Yeah. Agreed.
And so I think that's kind of a similar thing, because the county owned ground. So kind of like where we're at now. So I don't know if everybody here knows that, but maybe talk a little bit about that and how what that development process was there, and then how many of those units are, deed for the community land trust, and then what they did with the rest of it.
Yeah.
And that's
I might leave that just for a little bit. I'm happy to talk about that, but I think I want to focus on how to get feedback from you guys. But certainly, I think the first part of that is that process is exactly what we're doing here. We sat down with the county commissioners to say, hey, you guys want to impact housing? how do you want to impact housing? What do you want to see? Over multiple sessions, start drilling down into how they want to approach using their land that they have to get the housing type they want to see in the community. Could talk about the end results of that, but really I think the process here is what I'm interested in talking about is how do I get that feedback? For them, they wanted to have these types of discussions. They're a very open commission. They had a lot of communication. They were willing to speak up, ask those questions. That's not going to be every single person's preferred method. They answered some surveys, but they also wanted a county employee survey. And so we surveyed the county employees to say what do they want. That was one of their main goals, was how do they house county employees when they're hiring somebody. They didn't want to have the conversation of like, hey, you're the perfect candidate, but are you actually going to move here after you look at housing prices? They wouldn't, you know, give out offers and then somebody doesn't come. So
like my answer to your question is I'm open to any of those. I do feel, you know, like if you were to email the council with questions that you would get answers. I mean, I like sitting here talking about it, but that takes a lot off everybody's time. Where, you know, some, I think it really depends on the questions and the answers you're looking for. But I would be open, like if you had some questions, to email them, we could answer them. You know, and if it's kind of bigger topics, maybe we have to have more meetings.
I agree with you 100%. I think if you put it that way, and maybe a little bit of both, like you said, throw out some options for us that you suggest, you know, five, so to speak, if you will.
Gives you time to think about the options.
Exactly.
Instead of trying to make that major decision.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need time to mull around and think about that.
Yeah.
Work that through.
That's, I agree with that. I think that would be.
Greg, how would you like it?
Oh, that's fine. Whatever you guys want. I'll answer. And I think that, Rick, those can go through Liz or Katie, and then she can send them if you want to.
Okay, sure.
Peel it down to one.
And just as a reminder, we will never have an online quorum, so we will blind carbon copy, and you guys will be answering directly back to that person. We won't have a quorum online through email. So it might look a little bit different, right? Because we're asking for a response. And so that we have to be careful. Otherwise, we have to publicly notice. So just your emails will be like, well, Brian's not on this email or Greg's not on this email. Just know that it's okay. It's coming from one of us. Please still respond. We're collecting all of those answers.
Thanks, Katie.
I think one early thing is who you guys look to serve with this. Go back to that Hidden Creek project. Shimroth, they wanted to serve their employees. They were having trouble hiring, so they set out specifically saying, we want to help out these types of employees. I think in these types of processes, they didn't start there, right? That's where they got. And at first, it feels kind of bad to pick winners and losers. People don't want to do that, don't want to say that person's housing is more important than others. And in general, you know, I agree with that philosophy. And not to pick anybody, you know, in West, but that county process didn't end with, I want to make sure that Rick Simpkins has a house, right? It ended with, I want to make sure that the sheriff we hire has a house, that person in water and sewer district, you know, you guys could build a new one, can have housing. The teachers have housing and they're not forced to, you know, get trained and then leave and go teach somewhere else once they kind of get up to speed. So with that in mind, are there, you know, do you have that feeling that there are, you know, public employees that you want to serve? Because I have the data. I can go find out what those public employees make and say, okay, well, what type of housing can be affordable to them, right? If that means, hey, I want to make public school teachers housing, single family homes on, you know, detached homes, probably going to be tricky. Not say you couldn't do it, but it's going to cost more resources to make that happen. If it's, hey, we want to make sure that the business owners have housing, well, it's not going to take as much resources, but maybe they're able to find their own housing. There's going to be that trade-off here. You know, saying like, we want to make sure we serve public service employees doesn't mean that's what we're going to do and we're going to have the money to do that. We're going to have trade-offs every single time we're going to talk about decisions. So we're going to have trade-offs because it costs time, it costs money, it costs something, it takes risk to do it. But just generally, where are you guys' heads at? Step zero here.
Julie, you want to start?
Yeah, I think we definitely need to have that, a mix of that, if you can. You know, I think that's important for our community to have that, especially for teachers in this town, teachers and public works and our law enforcement, everybody. So I think that needs to be part of it. You know, obviously there's going to be different phases that we're going to do, but I think that's very important for us to have, just to build the community to where we need. And we've got to be able to, we've had a heck of a time with our teaching staff because of that. So
specifically teachers.
I would say all of them. I mean, law enforcement, everything. We've got to provide for the community in order to get the whole bunch in there, if you will, for lack of a better way to say it. So, I don't know.
Greg, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, the only thing I have is, you know, there's such levels in each, in EMS and city employees, and that is how do you distinguish what you're going to do there?
Yeah.
And so, so you've got to provide for each one of them. Anyway, that'd be, it's a hard thing to do. It's not something that's not accomplishable, but this is a hard project. Everybody better start to realize we've had 162 opinions on our housing strategy. We had 203 in our business housing needs assessment. That's a wide variety of folks that live in this town are commented. And I hate making those kind of decisions for those kind of people. So, anyway, it's
might be in the wrong job.
It's a tremendous responsibility to do this. So, we need to get to work on it.
Yeah.
My opinion is, you know, we definitely need, staff. Because if we don't have employees for town and fire, we don't have a town.
Correct.
And workforce housing kind of goes hand in hand in that. I kind of feel like we kind of have to follow the surveys. The hard thing is, you know, like the need now is maybe not the need in 5 years, but we, you know, with the data we have to throw it at them.
Anybody else?
I mean, I can guide a little bit on this. When we had the local the housing coalition, the West Yale Sonoma Housing Coalition, we identified some priorities.
Okay.
Some, maybe that's something that you can share with the council, but I think that's pretty in line with what we're thinking. I mean, the first layer was the essential services. The second was the support services, so people that are the housekeepers and the waiters and waitresses and bartenders and stuff like that. And then I think it got into some other populations kind of as you went down the line. I think there was three or four priorities that I don't recall what they were, but maybe that's something that you can find and share with the council. But
yeah,
I think that's kind of in line with what we're talking about, but I think maybe it's good for them to see like how those priorities are ranked.
Yeah, I can
definitely. It's pretty
much in. So we facilitated some of those conversations over the last few years, and the foundation and that housing coalition have talked to hundreds of residents, and they really, the common theme was prioritizing a product or products that could first serve four pillars of a healthy community, which is healthcare, emergency services, government services, and education. That overwhelmingly was the themes that we heard. And then, of course, you know, support services, like not to say that those four pillars are the most important, but that was where people wanted to see our first focus because it felt those four pillars, your community kind of falls apart. So,
Another thing we have really got to consider is our workforce isn't going to change because we don't have new businesses or different kinds of businesses coming into town. We are going to be motel, bartenders, whatever. And so that's not going to change. And so we also, we're getting to be a bit of a corporation town. And that's another thing we have to consider is, are the corps going to be involved in this? Because most of them supply their own housing. So is it going to change? You know, that's the one thing. So do we have to adapt what we're going to do to what we have now into the 80 acres? And because I don't see an industry coming in here. I don't see anything like that. So our workforce basically isn't going to change here. So
when you say like being a corporation town, do you mean like the concessionaries of?
I'm talking like Delaware North. You know, we're going to have Marriott here in town. You know, it's that's good enough.
Yeah, perfect. So I don't have exactly what we'll talk about in each session determined. A general roadmap for what to do on the second session, and just want to talk a little bit about what those are going to look like. I'm hopefully in the second session doing a little more education, answering your guys' questions, helping to guide and get feedback, but making sure you guys understand the options available, those trade-offs that are going to come. You know, you could have really, really affordable housing for a few, or not as affordable housing for more, things like that. That's kind of, you know, simplifying those trade-offs, but that is also a very real trade-off that's going to happen. We'll discuss, you know, some like pitfalls that have, you know, you have affordable housing on day one, and then by, you know, year five, it's no longer affordable, and how to avoid that. How to make sure that any, you know, town money that gets put into housing, that gets put into the 80 acres, stays with the community rather than getting absorbed by, you know, one person who wins a lottery or gets chosen first to live in housing. We'll hit on, you know, the ownership versus rental product. Those can be the same, you know, home that supplies it, but oftentimes there is a difference between a rental home and a, you know, for ownership product that you're going to sell. And it's very different in the development process. The kind of end result might look the same, but how you get there can be very different. Talk about construction costs, kind of rough order of magnitude construction costs. We're not going to get down to the nitty gritty of it. And to look at how that compares on housing types. You know, why is it cheaper to build townhomes than it is a single family detached home? Talk about apartments, that sort of thing. And then look at where those construction costs lead the housing prices, both from, you know, ownership and rental costs. Where does that line up with the incomes in town? Allow you guys to sort of have that data available to start making the decisions on prioritizing funds, prioritizing land, delineating the land, right? I think for doesn't have to be, how this isn't going to be everything for everybody, but we want to make sure that there's a mix. We're not just kind of trotting out one product on all three lots, and three lots being the three that'll get platted in this first phase.
Four.
I thought one was open space.
Oh, you're just talking about
the buildable three, right? Isn't it three?
Oh, there's four.
Is it buildable?
Yeah.
I thought the fourth was the open space one, but I will take a look again at that.
Maybe if I'm confused.
You probably know better than I do. Certainly took a look. But I also might have looked at one picture and been like, yep, those are the three, and then not realize that there's another one under just off the picture. So, but we'll get into that. How do you want to handle ownership of the 80 acres? Is it going to be sold off to individuals? Is it going to be sold off to a large developer? Are you going to retain ownership and control of it long term? All things to be determined. And yeah.
Can that be mixed up?
It can. It absolutely can. And it probably should.
My thought process.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then I think one of the big ones, and we'll start talking about today, is how involved is the town going to be in development of the 80 acres? From, you know, kind of where we are now, obviously you guys are involved in it, you're doing the plat yourselves, to vertical construction. And again, yeah, this doesn't have to be the same. You can determine different lots have different rules and different products that you want to see. You can break out a lot into pieces. You could do one individual kind of home site lot that you want to see something on. But I think we're going to generally try to paint more broad strokes than like individual home lots on there. I'm gonna need a lot of feedback from you guys after that second session, both in the session and after it. Use that session to kind of drill down, synthesize it into making the third session, starting to make those decisions. It's not heavy set in stone by any means, but we want to, in there, start getting to what you guys want to see, start making decisions. There's, you know, there's only so much available land. There's only so many available resources. We're gonna have to allocate those generally. Now, you guys will still, of course, retain the ability to, after that session, say, hey, nope, that's not the route we want to go. But hoping to sort of have the roadmap after that session. I'll take all that information back. Probably need a little more feedback from you guys on individual and more finer points. And then we'll go session four, present my recommendations. Those recommendations will be tailored to what I hear from you guys. Within reason, there might be recommendations that I have that you guys don't like, and I would, you know, I'll include a little footnote of something maybe you want to consider as things go forward, and here's why, and also here's why you guys picked what you picked, what I heard, why that's the recommendation for you guys moving forward, and I'll also produce I'll call them draft RFPs. They'll be ready to release into the public should you wish, but of course, you know, you have the ability to direct me and staff to make those changes at that session as well. And then discuss some of the follow-up items that we'll have. If you guys decide you want to have a deed restriction program, you want to deed restrict some lots, but what does that deed restriction look like? Who's going to draft it? What are the restrictions that are going to go in there? Figure out how to get you there, right? These aren't going to be huge problems, but making sure we have a universe of what those follow-up questions are. If you decide you want to see manufactured housing in there, are there design standards and guidelines that you want specifically on that manufactured housing? Is there would you allow a 1975 mobile home to be placed on there, or does it need to be, you know, new and meet a certain code? Things like that, we don't have to decide today, but just so you know, there will be sort of tail items that are going to be on this process. And then we'll also talk about how that's going to align with the platting schedule. There's no reason to release an RFP to find, you know, a general contractor right now when you don't have buildable lots. You're not allowed to do it, right? So making sure that we understand when each step should happen. You don't want to get somebody involved too late where you already made decisions that are going to be hard for them to deal with, but you also don't want to have somebody on the hook for a year or anything to do. This is my proposed schedule. I used dates that Dan sent me. He had said you guys would prefer 1 hour sessions. I think we're gonna have to do 2 hour sessions. There's just gonna be a lot to talk about and discuss. If it ends early, that's great, but I'd like to kind of pencil in 2 hours for two of those sessions. That fourth one could just be, hey, me presenting it and done, or there's gonna be a little more back and forth. So I've left that one a little more open as well. All of these sessions are going to be dependent on getting timely feedback. If I send you guys a survey and I don't hear back for 2.5 weeks, I probably have to move out of session to be further back, because I need to have time to take what you guys tell me and develop the session so it's useful for you. So I don't want to set these in stone, but I do want to kind of generally pencil these in so we know when we're going to meet, what we're going to talk about on those days, and just noting that we might have to be flexible with that as well. Okay, we use this and made this first when we're working on the Hidden Creek project to talk about how involved you want to be in the development. So as you go higher up the mountain, you're increasing the level of control you have over the project, but you're also increasing how much investment it's going to take to get there. These are not going to be completely mutually exclusive, right? You can easily kind of intermix some of these, but generally you're going to see that level rise with these. So if you're, doing it as a lead developer all yourself, you're at maximum control. You're at maximum investment as well. If you build housing and it doesn't sell and that was the intention, now the town has a bunch of homes that are on the books and they can't sell. But you got to build exactly what you wanted to build. As we start with selling with the deed restriction, what that looks like is you guys have the land. You put a deed restriction on it, you write in what you want to see in that deed restriction. There's tons of different routes to go with that. There's a number of examples of deed restriction programs across the country. I'm happy to provide those examples. Happy to also just talk about what they are. But if you want to, if you want Dan to call Vail and ask about their deed restriction program, George Rutherford's always happy to talk about his deed restriction program. you can, write in what you want to see there. That's an easy one, but you lose the land, right? You've transferred the land. It's no longer in control of the town. If it's not in that deed restriction, somebody can do what they want with it. So you don't have that control. Anything that isn't in the deed restriction can't enforce. It's going to be what it is. It's also important to note that deed restrictions generally lower the value of property. If you have two pieces of property and one says you can only build an 800 square foot cottage and one says you can build whatever you want, you're going to pay more for the one where you can build whatever you want. Unless all you wanted to build was the 800 square foot cottage, then maybe that's perfect for you. But it is important to note that the town is intending to sell all these lots. The more restrictive you make that restriction, the less it's going to kind of sell for generally. Moving on up on the control and investment scale, ground leasing, here you're going to retain the land. That ground lease, you can again write it a lot of different ways. In some ways, deed restrictions and ground leases are very similar, that you can write in what you want to see in there. Here, you retain a little more control. There's sort of a possession is really important in the law. And so you do retain that ownership. If there are things that aren't written explicitly in there, you might get the benefit of the doubt by being the landowner. If there is a conflict, those ground leases again can look very different how you want to write them. It doesn't just have to be for a community land trust. You can develop rental housing on land and give a 99-year lease to somebody to go develop rental housing on there. You can you could have that be free for 30 years of that ground lease. They don't pay you anything, and then after 30 years, they start paying the town to use the land after that. Partner development. Sort of a sweet spot on this chart here because you can make a partnership look like a lot of different things. And if you're noticing a theme here, it's that each of these has a pretty wide band of what you want to do with it, what you want to see. But generally, here is where I think you guys are landing. Not 100% sure on that, but as I've thought about it and talked to staff and sort of gathered initial feedback, this is where a lot of this will end up, that you want to release an RFP, find a partner. Negotiate a partnership agreement with them in order to get the housing types built that you want to see without having to be the actual builder of that housing. Tons of different ways those partnership agreements can go. You can use them to get rental housing for sale ownership. You can, write in that you want to see, hey, we want to write a first refusal for anybody that teaches in West Yellowstone, and they would have priority when getting into that housing, either as an ownership or a rental product. And then finally, at the top of investment control, as we said, you do it all yourself. You've already started this doing it all yourself. It's already unusual for a town to sort of do their own platting work and annexation. Usually, you'd have a developer come to you and say, "Hey, I've got this land, it borders your town. I want to get access to your water, sewer, police, fire, all that." And then you negotiate that agreement. You're doing it yourselves, so you're already sort of taking this route. But the vertical construction is a very different beast than sort of working with some engineers to plat and bring a lot into your town. Do we have any questions about this?
On the partner development, right? What's the structure in there as far as you got a town, you got a town manager, do you have you got a developer maybe in that process? Do you have a planner? I mean, basically, and this is only my opinion, we have too much going on in town for Dan to take on all that responsibility. Okay. So in this partner development, what do we have? I mean, what could we have as far as the structure of the development team?
Yeah, that development team could be Dan attends a monthly meeting with the partnership after it's kind of kicked off and make sure that everything is going as you'd hope it would go. That could go completely opposite direction where you have one of their team members joining a monthly meeting to kind of help provide technical expertise to your staff. That's up for you to decide.
So, what is a partner development then? What is a partner? What's our partner? Is it a developer?
Yeah,
A developer, a planner? Is it all those things? Are there businesses like that offer that kind of thing?
yes. Yeah. So you might hire. I'll sort of make up a scenario, right? Or I'll give you what we did for Hidden Creek, right? Hidden Creek, the county project and the rest home, they wanted to provide housing. We went through this process. We ended up on let's release an RFP to find a developer to go build us housing. We don't know exactly how much of what, But they determine we want low income rentals and we want a for sale ownership product and how we make that happen. So released it. They picked HRDC and another company, United Housing Partners, that does a lot of low income housing tax credit developments. Said, hey, can you come back to us with a plan that works in this lot on this site? Delineate how many rental homes, how many for sale ownership homes that you're going to build. How are you going to do it? And then we would approve that. And they wanted that approval right, but they didn't want to be a part of those regular meetings, right? They had staff that they wanted that in those meetings that they know a little more about what the county wanted to see. So instead of going back to the full count or commission every time with every question, that staff member could say, yeah, they don't want to see a 6-story building. They're not going to want that, even though you could provide more housing. The neighbors will be upset with that. The neighbors are already talking their ears off. Let's make the max height 4 stories, something like that. But what we eventually got to is 182 rental units on the lot and 9 for sale homes. Prioritized on the for sale homes. You can't prioritize the rental housing when you use the federal money source. But the for sale homes will be offered to county employees first. County employees say no, will be offered to city employees. City employees don't buy. It'll go to any public service, a forest service worker, that sort of thing. And then if they also do not purchase, then it goes to the general public. But they decided that structure. They decided that agreement on how that would run, how that waterfall of who gets housing first is going to run. But generally, they picked a partner that said, this is what we want to see. Deliver us a plan that does this, and then we'll approve it or not. And that's what that partnership agreement looked like. And they run it because they own the land. The land doesn't just get transferred at that point. The land gets transferred much further down the line.
So did Dylan, Big Sky, Whitefish, did they all use the same process or did they use a different process?
For what do you
I mean,
mean?
did they use it for partner development or did they use it as Big Sky, which is not a town, is a community? Yeah, how did they do?
How did Big Sky
Yeah.
get where they are? The Chamber of Commerce put together a housing study, essentially what you guys have in the local housing strategy that identified a couple of tools, and when the opportunity came up to make one, somebody on that board called HRDC and said, hey, they've got a project here. Are you willing to take it over? The person in my role went to the resort tax board to say, hey, we are interested, but we need this amount of money to do it. Resort tax put the money forward and HRDC built the housing, formed the Big Sky Community Housing Trust, transferred all the homes to that, or well, the land underneath it to the Community Housing Trust, and helped kind of set up that organization, which is actually how I got involved in sort of the affordable housing game. I was on that original Big Sky Community Housing Trust board. Still am. For what it's worth. But it can look very different, right? The next projects that have been done from Big Sky follow a very different path because there was an established organization. It's important to say there is no town there, right? So it's a board making a lot of those decisions rather than a council of elected representatives.
Anyone else in the public have any questions?
Anybody else on the council have thoughts or, oh, yeah, go ahead.
Is there a way to get this information that you're sharing with the council? Is this accessible?
Yeah.
You had mentioned something about wanting to kind of keep it in-house while you're talking about these sort of things before it goes out of house, but we also are looking for input from your public. Is there a way to do that?
I think that's for the council to decide if they wanted to see a large public engagement process, something we can talk about. But I would also say that we have a lot of public engagement. We've done surveys, right? We have the local housing strategy, not the first needs assessment, just really data-driven, but the local housing strategy had 162 responses, had a group of 10 business owners, community leaders, Dan and Katie, old commission, our council. Sorry, I'm sure I'm going to say commission and council interchangeably, and I apologize. I know it's a town, if I can call you a city, my apologies there as well. But generally, like, that's you know, and then the workforce housing survey, like, that's the public engagement. That's sort of the data that I'm expecting the council will use to inform. And then, you know, otherwise, like, elected for a reason. A lot of responsibility, but it's also the responsibility, again, to make those decisions. Now, this data is available, right? You can go read those studies as well, those strategies. And also, like, this is an open public session. So it's not that the public is excluded from it. It's just that you can't really design with 100 people's thoughts in mind. You need to drill down. You know, we're gonna really look at five, you know, maybe call it six with some of Dan's involvement, if I can peel that out of him as well.
I've never found them difficult to get information through. I don't think that's a judgment.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious what you want to do about that.
Yeah, I think
that makes sense to have streamlined so that you have all the right people doing all the right things immediately, and the rest of the public gets that information distilled to through the council.
Yeah.
Alana, did you have a question or a comment?
I did. Thank you so much for recognizing me. On the Big Sky one, the question was which one has Big Sky used with each and every one of its developments or its decided. It's pretty much given the Big Sky Community Housing Trust the ability to run through depending on the project. And I think that sounds like kind of where you are. You know, there might be certain projects on the 80 acres that you might choose for number four and certain projects that you might choose number two. But I just wanted you to know that. And I'm also happy to help you guys with whatever you need. If you need anything at my level, please let me know. Thank you.
Yeah. As I said, like, the first project went like that. Now Big Sky has a deed restriction program that's not linked to new home sales. It's just they buy deed restrictions on existing housing. We're ground leasing for the community land trust. We're ground leasing in Coal Smoke to make affordable apartments exist there. Runs the gamut. And we're not, it is partner development, right? Big Sky Community Housing Trust has sort of made the decision that we're not going to self-develop all the way through. We're going to lean on partners that have more experience than we do. Things that we know are not our lane.
Rick, that's a pretty aggressive schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would ask, since we've got a lot of the council members here, are we able to make some of those decisions before we get into the next session? And that would be, you know, Travis too. I mean, some of the things he's asking for, we haven't even discussed yet. So that's my
sure.
Yeah.
Well, if we discussed having the extra work sessions, we may have to just do it. My thoughts.
I think I've tried to make it what I think is fairly aggressive because I've, you know, I've been a member of the public, seeing study after study, and you know, why was the 80 acres purchased a decade ago, and I'm not living on there now, and like I, you know, I think we've all been a part of that and seen that, and so going forward fast, not too fast, of course, is sort of how I want to design it. Now, if you guys are looking at that and going, hey, let's slow this back, that's something we can talk about as well. This is draft. This is also your guys' process. Like, I'm here to facilitate it. I'm here with information and hopefully can educate and help guide you guys, but this is your process. If you want to see this look different, that's for you to tell me.
I feel like one of the hard things is, you know, yeah, the council is making decisions on only information we have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's back to, you know, we have a lot of those surveys and, you know, and there's going to be tons of people that are like, that's not what we wanted.
Right.
But they also didn't give us their input.
Correct. Yeah.
So we kind of have to go with what we have.
Yeah.
Because we need to do something.
Hey, we do another survey. You guys want to do another survey? You
I
do another
think
survey.
we've way too many things.
For what it's worth, I do think the data is there, right?
Yeah,
We have the data, we have the demand data, we know what we can buy. We have to some degree the financial data in front of us. We have data on like what people want. I always discount that a little bit. People, everybody wants the 5-bedroom home. Not everybody can afford the 5-bedroom home. When it comes time to actually purchase it, and you're like, well, that's going to cost way more and I don't need it, you probably decide you don't want 5 bedrooms. 3 is great. So you always, I think some of that like demand, not like we should ignore it. People aren't lying, but then
We're not going to make everybody happy.
it's not going to be everything for everybody either. And people don't know what they want until, you're deciding on dinner. It's hard to know what you're going to want when you're just presented with it. You need someone to help you and you need to see what the options are.
Something is better than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, we're just going to have to take a jump and make some decisions. I mean, I don't like me and Travis have had this conversation a lot. And hardly anything we ever do as government is going to be terminal. Like, honestly, like we make decisions that feel terminal, but they aren't. They're decisions that feel tough, but then I think it's more important that we move something forward and we have good information. We have the input from the community. Now it's time to decide what the best tools are going to be, what are going to be most acceptable, because that's what you guys have been elected to do is kind of make those decisions of what is going to be acceptable for West Yellowstone and what's going to be the best decision. We got 80 acres. I mean,
Make it filler.
I mean, we can, I think if we put things down and we follow the data and we make those decisions, we're going to come out of here making, doing some good things for the community. So, I mean, just keep that in mind. Just like, I know it feels heavy, but I mean, that's where we've been at. Like we need the direction so that if we are dealing with a developer, as staff, we know what the council's feeling and what things are acceptable and what things aren't acceptable.
And one thing to add, like Dan's is, this is one section of the 80 acres. If the needs change or there's stuff we missed, we have other areas to fill that in.
I can't say enough, in my opinion, that I think we just got to focus on the workforce, and that is where we need to focus first, is how I look at it. That's got to happen.
What does that mean to you?
Meaning that the teachers and the staff or the staffing, I mean, that you can't, in my opinion, you can't build if we don't have that backbone, if you will, of those community members, and to keep them here, and get to where we need to be. So
Anyone on council disagree with that?
no.
Has there been any drawing, renderings of any of the fourplexes, homes, anything on these acreage lots? Because one of the things you're looking, you don't really know how things are fitting on these lots. And then to me, you're just not, I mean, you have to focus on how many fourplexes or homes or et cetera, how many lots do you have per block? I think these are the things that help figure the lot sizes. I mean, where are we at with that? Because
we're gonna get there.
One, we're gonna get there, and two, we're not gonna decide everything, right?
Right.
Unless the decision is you're gonna self-develop it, then we can get there. But I don't think that's gonna be the answer. And so part of that is gonna be when you're working with a developer who says, hey, you could put 80 homes on this lot, but the developer, if they're taking the risk, isn't gonna put 80 homes on the lot. They're gonna say, hey, I don't think there's the demand for that. I think I'm going to get skewered at a public meeting when I suggest 6 stories, 5 stories. You could max out the zoning, or you could say, hey, let's pull that back. So we're not going to prescribe it's going to be 40 units on this lot, 40 on that. But I think more where we want to get to is, hey, do we want to see a community land trust on one of these lots? What do we want that to look like? Is that townhomes? Is it single family homes? Do we want to have a manufactured lot that is only manufactured housing where we say, hey, this is what we're going to do. Do you guys want to sell individual lots to anybody who has the money to buy one? Or do you want to sell lots that have a restriction that somebody that ha you have to earn your money in the resort tax district to in order to live there. Do you want to see an apartment building? Do you want to see one giant single family home on one of the acres, but you're gonna raise a crap ton of money for the town government? You're not gonna see that in my recommendation per se, but it's not my town. I wasn't elected to make that decision.
I think we already did that once.
Yeah.
The giant home?
Yeah.
One mansion. You know, like those, that's the kind of level. And then providing that direction to the town staff that locate a partner, that design restriction program, that go tell the engineer, hey, we think we want to see about this number of lots. This is what makes sense to us. Does that make sense? But it's that directions that they're not checking in with you on every little decision. They're checking with you on the big ones, right? They're not going to go sell off a big chunk without you guys to say so, but they want to know what that should look like if there was a sale, or is it a sale? Should they be developing a ground lease? Do they want to, you know, do they want to see a copy of HRDC's ground lease we use? Do they want to ask the Big Tech Community Housing Trust for the ground lease on their rental housing to get an idea? Those types of things so that they can move forward for you guys. And also know what other partners do they need, right? Like if you do decide on a community land trust, you probably want to operate either work with Trust Montana or HRDC. There's a couple of, and well, one other that I would say you could work with that would be willing to work here. Or is it, hey, let's build that out at the town, you know, level. Katie would love to run a community housing trust. Let's add that to her plate. Okay, but who should she talk to about how to do that? Those types of things so you guys can take the next steps. But it's not, you know, we're not going to decide in this room, in this group, in this process, exactly how many units, where they're going to go, what are the setbacks for that, does it fit? That's going to be the next phase. That's and you wouldn't want to, because if you tell a developer here's exactly what you have to do, you're probably not going to get anybody to respond to it. They want to have some of that creative processing. They have something that works for them. Generally, how involved do you think the town should be in development? I think it's a big one. And you know, putting you on the spot, but that's going to keep happening. I'm going to keep having to do that.
Just depends on how much Dad wants to work.
It's not just that, it's how much does. I mean, I only have so much knowledge and so much ability.
Correct.
I'm not a
It's
developer.
it does seem limitless to me from where I'm sitting.
Well, it's something, sometimes it feels like it. I mean, there's also that. It's like, you know, there's only so much that you can lean on me to do that's going to be in my expertise without me screwing it up. Honestly, that's just.
You wanted all those challenges,
I love that.
Dan.
That's
You know,
that's different.
and I think that's one of the things I was getting at,
Yeah.
Dan. We're not,
Yeah.
this group, and I'm including the council, is not capable of doing that. Do we want to be involved? Yes. But I think we need some guidance, and we'll have to decide how we want to do that. Whether we don't have to only open up one section, we could open up two sections. And I think a developer's going to want, he's going to want to make some money off of this. So he's not going to make any money off of low income. So he maybe want, you know, maybe we want some semi-res stuff on another section there. So I think there's a lot of things we need to discuss between us, but I'm really worried about making your schedule. But I understand it's also summertime in West Yellowstone. And so we're limited. Some of us are limited. I think all of us are limited in the time we can spend, but we need to spend that time. But yeah, we I think that's some of those decisions we need to make in a work session. Dan, because I'm not wanting to throw it on you. I don't want to throw it on John. Yeah. But maybe I'll throw it on John. But anyway, I think we need to have a gathering, a meeting, or a work session real soon to decide which way we would look at going and put out possibilities, and then maybe
It's called like
back to
July
that.
22nd for that one.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think. As Rick said, this is the council's process. So I've been hearing we're ready to go. We need to get some decisions. And so that's kind of why we put the schedule the way we did. If the council feels like it's too fast or too slow, I mean,
we'll make the adjustments. I don't think it's too fast. I think because we asked when we talked with Rick last Thursday, we said put out a reasonable, aggressive time frame. That's what we asked him to do. So if it's too aggressive, not aggressive, I mean, that's to the council, but also understanding that that also pushes back things on the back end. And so those are trade-offs that need to be made.
And if you think that's too fast, you're like, hey, I don't know if I'll, you know, because there's homework here, right? There's homework over the weekend, right? And there's going to continue to be, you know, I'm hopeful that you guys will ask to see examples of different development methods and projects, and I'm happy to provide that. But that means then you got to go review it. You know, it's no good if I provide it and you guys don't go read into it and then say, wait a second, I don't understand why they did X, Y, Z, right? Ask that question. I'm happy to have, you know, I'm here to kind of facilitate, answer questions, but you guys are going to drive this process every step of the way. You really are. It's not going to be my plan. It's not. I can tell you it's not.
Okay.
I think some of us need to go.
Yeah, we can try to be respectful of people's time. So
yeah, no.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick.
I will, hearing what I've heard, I will probably send out a survey to y'all, trying to get reflections on the local housing strategy, what you want to know more about, what you don't, and I'll look for those responses.
And hopefully we answered
your
question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely have a start.
Okay. With that, I will end this work session. Thank you, everyone.